The views expressed on the Big Shiny podcast do not express the views of Big Shiny Robot as a whole, its subsidiaries, or its sponsors.
And the Big Shiny podcast contains coarse language like
penis butt.
Listener discretion is advised.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
Welcome to Big Shiny Robot.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. This week we are talking about movies, TVs, and all things TVs, plural.
The televisions,
and all things geek. I am Tyson, also known as R-Spot. Sitting across from me, snapping his beer, is the co-founder of BigShinyRobot.com, Lucas, also known as Kiltacularatron.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
There he is. There he is. Sitting next to him is Kylie, also known as Vagitron.
How's it going?
And next to him is Tom, also known as Zombietron.
You remembered my Tron.
I had a panic attack as I said your actual name.
Yeah.
And sitting next to me, joining us this week, replacing Jimmy, but not really, is Danielle from the Hello Sweetie podcast.
Sup?
Do you want a robot name?
I make one up for me.
Kylie already took Vagitron.
Oh. Scissortron. Jesus. Because you cut hair.
Scissortron. Double meaning. That's awesome. Yes. Scissortron.
Oh, my God.
And it sticks.
Can you turn down my headphones? I don't want to hear this.
So, you guys, you turned down my headphones, you jackass.
We need to label this shit. Yeah. He was blown out in my head.
That turned me off. Okay, so that's me.
This whole podcast should turn you off.
Keep going. I don't know. That might be me. Yeah, that's fine, probably. So,
yeah, that was Kylie.
I thought we did this before.
I know. You guys are blowing me out. You two are excited.
I'm sorry. I get like okay. Really loud.
It is okay, though.
All right. Okay. We're good.
Let's talk about something fun.
It works.
Star Wars.
I want to hear Kylie's kick into this.
Okay, so a little exposition.
The trailer, right motherfucker, before, where were you?
After Thanksgiving on Black Friday, they dropped the first Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens,
the teaser.
Trailer on us. And for some reason, Lucas really wants to hear your thoughts on it, Kylie, so why don't you go ahead and lead it off?
Did we talk about this before? Because I didn't hate it.
No, I just think your opinion on Star Wars is always interesting to me, so I thought you should.
Well, I'm excited because it's the classic shit. I don't care for the prequels at all.
No, prequels are awful.
Yeah, thank you.
They are garbage.
I was intrigued, but then when the Falcon came on and the music swelled up, I almost cried. Like, yes!
I almost cried. Like, I will admit right now, like I was watching the teaser and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Oh, stormtroopers. Oh, they look a little different. That's cool. All right, cool. Is that an engine to a pod racer that she's riding? Okay, and then you know, the lightsaber with the what are they called?
The cross guard,
right? And I'm like, okay, that was a weird looking lightsaber. And then it goes black, and then all of a sudden, just that John Williams like just booms in, and the Millennium Falcon comes around, and I was like, grab my laptop, and I'm like shaking. I'm like, yeah, oh my god, it's the fucking Millennium Falcon.
The funniest thing for me is for the 2 days before that, I kept clicking on links going, oh my god, it's up. And they were these fake trailers. So when I'm watching the regular one and I see the black stormtrooper guy come up, I'm like, is this another fake trailer?
You're like, no, black people are like, Star Wars?
His face in the beginning, because he's like, fuck is happening?
That was such a J.J. Abrams thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Did you guys see the recut that somebody did that was the George Lucas edition that was like chock full of everything?
Yeah.
I need to see that one. I saw the Wes Anderson one.
That one was
good
too.
And that one was wonderful.
I didn't see the Wes Anderson.
Yeah, that one was really good.
All I even know from the George Lucas one is when the Millennium Falcon's fighting or flying, and there's like 78 TIE fighters now.
Well, there's like Jabba the Hutt on screen at some point. Yeah. Well,
and that first scene with the black guy, there's the dewbacks walking across the screen. So they did a great job.
It was definitely, in the strictest sense of a word, a teaser, right? Do we want to talk about a little bit of exposition theories? I mean, anything that we gleaned from the trailer?
I don't think there was any information in it.
I don't think Lando Calrissian's in it.
Well, one thing interesting that I brought up
there's
is,
already one black
is the, the shot of the stormtroopers. There's the one stormtrooper that's shorter than everyone else, and we think it's the I don't know his name. The midget? So I feel really Jawa? Bad just saying like the black guy at the beginning.
John
of
Boyega? Okay.
Yes, John Thank Boyega.
You. Swoon.
Yeah, so people think that that's him in costume there, perhaps undercover. You know,
what if? I did like that shot. There was shots in the teaser. Granted, there wasn't a lot, but there were shots that reminded me of the old Lucas stuff, and then there were the shots where you'd see like the
X-Wing,
yeah, and I'm like, that's JJ.
Holy shit.
Yeah, the X-Wings are the water.
It had a nice mixture for me.
If you notice, like, that's something very JJ Abrams, because like in Star Trek, he brought the Enterprise to surface a lot. More than you've ever seen in any series, any movie or anything, which I liked because it kind of seemed to like transplant it into reality, right? Like it's interacting with a somewhat realistic environment. So it's very J.J. Abrams to see those X-Wings flying over the waterscape and all the mist coming up off of them and stuff. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but the foils are a little bit different now.
Yeah, like they kind of lap into each other. Well, yeah, they fold into each other instead of being on top of each other.
So really cool stuff. The cross guard, you know, of course, there's got to be some contention there, but, you know, people complaining about the cross guard thing. But
I really appreciate Stephen Colbert, like,
weighing
in on it and explaining how it works.
He has been a fan 2 weeks longer than anybody else out there. Yeah. So, yeah, no, his explanation of it was, I think, spot on. Like, you know, it's a goofy thing to argue over. I mean,
well, it is, but here's,
people just want to argue.
Episode 2 and 3 had normal lightsabers, and those were dog shit.
Well, and it's really the cross guard is super impractical, though. Like, because think about how long that cross guard is, and he's holding it like.
Yeah, but the argument for that is like, how practical is a fucking lightsaber?
Right. The odds of you cutting off your own arm with a lightsaber are less than one with lasers coming out the side.
Some of the theories that I'd seen that I wonder is if this is, because it's The Force Awakens, if this is a Sith before the times of even the prequels.
Especially because
his lightsaber is all jaggy.
Yeah, it's like, so it's not a smooth blade. It's really...
Almost looks like flames.
So like a broadsword versus a ninja sword.
Yeah, I'm the last fucking guy to comment on Star Wars. I'm just...
You were. But we all did before you did.
At the same time, like with the jaggy, that could just be like a J.J. Abrams thing because he always has like the light flares and shit. So maybe that's just his Star Wars light flares.
That whole
maybe
scene that's, is...
Maybe
scene
that's how he portrays the lightsabers.
Yeah, that scene shot with the fisheye lens.
Yeah. Oh, and see, and here's the thing. Like with the cross guards, like some people thought it was the coolest thing in the world, and other people thought it was the dumbest fucking thing they've ever seen, and they're already claiming that J.J. Abrams has now also raped their childhood. My thing was, is like, he, you know, pops open the lightsaber, and I was like, oh, that's different. Like, I was completely indifferent to it, and I hop on the internet, everyone else is like, it's so fucking stupid! I'm like, guys...
Like, and it almost makes you wonder if, like, for this type of stuff, if people are just looking at it trying to nitpick something.
I think that's what it is.
If you're going to nitpick something in the trailer, you've got that and you've got the ball droid.
The droid.
Who is like a celebrity.
Which
now.
I thought was fun.
Yeah, it was funny.
I was like,
oh,
that's kind of cool. Like,
it's a poor African droid throwing a soccer ball across a dirt field. That's cute. Like,
and it can't talk, so it can't be the new Jar Jar. So
J.J. Abrams like slipping in like Christianity overtones too, or symbolism in his movies. So some people think the cross with that.
But it's upside down. So therefore, it's a Satanist. Mm-hmm. Sith.
So
Lord.
Star Wars,
even better.
The devil.
Which means there's going to be battle axes that are the reverse, and they'll be like laser crosses.
There's been a rumor of
what
lightsaber axes. Actually.
It worked in Transformers. Why the fuck not?
Yeah.
Did anything really work in Transformers?
Yes, the cartoon series?
Absolutely. No. Okay. Well, yeah.
I'm talking about Optimus Prime's hand axe that he has in the cartoon show.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
he also has one of the movies.
Didn't he have a mace too on one side?
I don't remember. Okay. Who knows?
It's been a long time.
It's Mark Wahlberg would say. It's science.
Well, remember when we saw the teaser for Phantom Menace and Darth Maul, you know, turns
double
his
lightsaber
on and then the next blade comes out? People lost their shit. That's amazing. Well,
but see, for me, though, like, that was cool because a double-sided lightsaber changes the dynamic of how you fight with it.
Oh, yeah.
The cross guards, it's kind of like what Lucas said. It's like now you kind of have to fight with this lightsaber as a broadsword, which is like, you know, just big, powerful swings,
or,
no finesse.
Or the cross guard is detachable and it's like a fucking boomerang.
Yeah, that could happen.
Force
Tom.
Boomerang.
Yeah. It's could
possibility.
Happen.
Well, Tom, I thought we told you not to talk until the video game episode. I distinctly remember that being
force boomerang.
This must have been while you guys were hanging out upstairs.
Stuck in the entryway.
In the entryway. We're like, well, what are you going to talk about?
By the way, don't talk about until video games, fucker.
In episode 2, this is the only other different lightsaber I'd seen other than Darth Maul's, was Dooku's had like a curved handle.
Yeah.
he didn't really use it in the movie like they talk about it in the novels. If you've read the novels, it's he used it more like jousting, like kind of a fencing kind of foil.
Oh, okay.
But
I just assumed he's an old it was kind of like just, how some people know. Like prefer one type of dildo over another.
I think the he likes the curve. I can see that.
Yeah. Which there's one that's like fist shaped.
Can we
a fist shaped lightsaber?
Can we talk about Groupon's Black Friday sale for a second?
On their dildos?
It was insane. No, seriously. So like, have you looked at? So they sent me. Like,
I bought three.
Yeah. This can't be real.
No, it is. They were like Black Friday deals on Groupon. So I'm like, I'll scroll through them. So it's like bedsheet, dog bed, cups, pans, dildo, bedsheet, dog pans, cups, video game, dildo, cock ring, video game. Like they just like mix it in there. It's
so
great.
So casual.
Hell, you're on the
Groupon's
wrong side.
Gotten very sexual lately. Yeah, like, with their offers. It's
those
weird.
Who bought this 12-piece cooking set from Stainless Steel also like bought the double fisted. Yeah, exactly.
It's like that's a lonely housewife.
There was some scary shit in there, man.
Well, Tom, don't be too intimidated. That's not what I got for your birthday.
I gotta try the new
so
one.
So we've covered
week.
Star Wars and dildos.
Yep. Walking Dead mid-season finale.
Speaking of dildos.
Who's the dildo?
God.
I feel like you guys Beth. Can spoil the show.
Beth was the dildo.
Did you're not watching it?
I'm not watching it.
Okay. I called it the week before. Everyone else was saying it was going to be Carol. I'm like, nah, they're going to kill Beth.
They can't kill Carol. Carol. They just made her a badass. Okay, so technically, spoiler yes, alert. They can kill Carol. Because, I mean, the show could... But at the same time, the show doesn't seem to like to take those kind of risks with, like really favorite characters.
Right. Rick, Daryl.
Daryl, I think, would be... I like Daryl. I see the appeal, but I think it would be really, like, edgy and cool of them if they did kill him off.
Do you know how many viewers they'd lose, though?
Oh, yeah.
Instantly.
Because, like, you're the exception, right? There's so many people that watch the show because... Daryl.
Oh, Daryl.
Which, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I like Daryl. I just don't see like why everybody's got such a raging boner for him. Like, I just don't.
I think it's
and she's a little badass. Are you, with the is everyone goal. Listening
well,
to this?
I think it's because Daryl was Rick, who Rick should have been for the first three or four seasons.
True. I guess
like
so.
The strong, silent type that just took care of shit.
And Rick I guess so. Was, that like, makes the sense. The new Shane.
Yeah, Rick is fucking insane.
He's great so now. Good now, dude. So in this finale,
that great scene at the beginning.
You tell Tyson because I'll fuck it up.
So they got these cops that they're gonna. They've captured these cops from the hospital that they're going to barter and get their friends back in exchange for their cops.
Because Beth's been kidnapped.
And
they,
Carol.
They have Beth and Carol.
And Carol, basically. Yeah.
So they've got three of their cops. One of them takes off and it knocks one of their people out, takes off running. And he's got, you know, he's got his hands tied behind his back with a little zip tie. And they're really close to the hospital. And the reason the cops are out there is because they've heard shots. So they're out investigating the shots. So Rick can't go out and just, like, shoot him. So he jumps in a cop car, and he's following him. And he gets on the radio, and he's like, stop. You need to stop. And the guy keeps running, and Rick's like, okay. And he just guns it and just slams this guy.
God breaks
his back and fucks him up. And he gets out of the car, and the guy's like, you know, I don't know you. I can't trust you. And he's like, all you had to do was stop. We could have taken care of this. Great, you know. And he's like, you broke my back. I don't know what you're going to do. He pulls out his gun, and the guy keeps rambling on, and Rick just finally shoots him in the head and goes, shut up. I was like, yes.
Yeah, because the whole thing is like,
Rick. Oh, my God, that's amazing. I can't wait to see this.
And the guy's like, we can make a deal. We can work it out. Like, I'm Sonny. Just...
This is a real Rictatorship right here.
It's good. It's true.
A Rictatorship.
Yes, it's a Rictatorship.
I like that.
This is not a democracy. But that's,
you know, with Daryl, though, like, he's like, really one of the more true wild cards, right? Because he's not in the comic books. He's a sole creation to the show. And so who knows what's going to happen with him? I mean, I think with
and
Rick.
Carol.
I mean, Rick is still alive and kicking in the comics. I think if you were to randomly kill him off, like, next season for, you know, shock value...
It's Rick's story. They won't
work.
Kill him.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. But Daryl, I mean, they built such a fan base around him, and I think eventually they will kill him off. I
don't see them killing him.
No,
I think they would maim him first. Yeah. I think he'd like lose an arm or something.
Like what they did to Rick in the comics.
Yeah,
just like you were saying, the fan base. I don't think that they would risk it.
Yeah. Well, they spent a good part of the season building a love story. Not a love story, but a sister brother relationship between Daryl and
Carol.
I'm talking about with Beth.
Yeah,
they spend a lot of time developing that relationship between them, and then they just take her. Like, yeah. I think the show is going to be building much more towards Daryl, his character, and making him even more of a fan favorite. But I could see, I think a Beth-Daryl love thing is going to happen eventually.
I think you told me about the Daryl tweet when Daryl cries, the whole world cries.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, really, it was that scene shocked me. It really did. Like, my jaw hit the floor.
You guys were all convinced last podcast that Beth was going to kind of make it through this and be a badass. Like, I remember.
And she was a badass.
All of you, but there was a conversation that, you know, she would come out of this being a pretty big badass, and not to say she wasn't up until her last moments, but
and her last moment was still kind of weak because she stabs the lady and then like the minute she stabs her, it's
boom, the right through her head. Oh my God.
Well, and she's and then
then you see the lady kind of back up that she'd stabbed with the scissors, and it's like right here in the arm. Like, why wouldn't you have just gone right for the neck?
Yeah. Because then Daryl can shoot her. Like, that she's been killing zombies this whole time. Exactly. Like, why would you know that they...
If nothing else, force of habit.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Is anyone else disappointed that they didn't just let Daryl go? Like, just go kill everybody? Like,
well, he stepped up right away, and that chick was gone.
Yeah.
And that second, he was like...
But, like, I think wanted to wipe out, like...
But for me, I thought it was more to show the point that Rick's in control of, like, every situation. Because after that, he's like, all right. Who's coming with me? I don't care which side you're on. We're fucking leaving.
Yeah.
I think it would have been nice if the other group with the fire truck made it right before all that happened, and it was just a bloodbath.
Well, and I think that you know, it's cool, and this is just me extrapolating, but I do feel like they're drawing a lot of really neat parallels from Rick to the governor. Mm-hmm. At this point, and they do it in the comic as well. Like, in the comic right now, they're really painting him as like a different style of Negan, right? Mm-hmm. He's not like he's pretty intense in the comic. Some of the shit he's doing, like when that guy fucked up and he rips him off the horse, and like, was it like 134, 133? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they're drawing some of those parallels, which is kind of cool. So,
I think we can talk about it more in the comics episode next week, but I feel like they're building that up so that they can bring Rick into question, like the new people that have showed up that are like the old Rick's group, and can be like, wait, you're the bad guy now, or you're doing these things aren't, you know.
And Tommy brought that up on The Walking Dead night, was like, well, if we would have been watching this from the people in the hospital's point of view this whole time, when these guys walked in the door, they would be the bad guys. Mm-hmm. You know? And one thing I've really liked about this season is it's had a lot of comic book stuff going on, but then you've got that whole, the whole hospital Beth stuff is...
Yeah,
totally new.
The TV show stuff is really strong.
Yeah. They've done really good.
And the cannibal story arc was really strong.
Yeah. See, and I thought that the cannibal story arc was really garbage.
Oh, really?
Which really?
Like, because, like, the Terminus stuff. Because at the end of last season, like, Rick's like, we're going to show them what we're made of kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, like, it's over in, like, one episode. And it's like, you build it up to be maybe, like, this overarching story for maybe a couple episodes. And it's over in one fucking episode. Like, really?
Mm. Lasted a couple, if you count, you know, but that's what I liked about it. All the stuff they've been doing out of the comic books, like
the prison stuff, the Terminus.
That stuff did take forever. But I think it would have been cooler to have like more of like a reveal of like the cannibals instead of just like, oh yeah, they're cannibals. Here you go. Mm. Because have you guys played the video game?
Mm-hmm. Mm, a little bit, but probably not enough.
There is a cannibal portion, because of course there is, like, it's a zombie thing, right. And the cannibal portion of that is just so horrific and it's terrifying. Bad. It's so good. And it's like, I wish they would have kind of taken like stuff from that kind of like inspire.
That was season one. I'd almost forgotten about that.
Yeah.
That was really, really good.
That was really fucking good.
Yeah, I think that's the first time in that game when you're like, oh my God, they've almost desensitized me.
Yeah.
Because by the end of the first season, like, you're like, oh yeah, that guy's probably fucking raping that person. That happens.
Yep. That happens in this world.
Yeah.
One of the things I have liked about this season is that when I think it's going to be, oh, this is what we're going to see for the next 13 episodes, it's done with, next episode. And then they jump to the next story, and you're like, okay, this is going to be what we're... And then, like, two episodes later, that's done with. So
I think the new showrunners have really helped with that, instead of just focusing on something and
we're going to be at a farm for a season.
Slamming it into the ground.
Well, I can't.
I would say it's been good, too, because there's a lot of subtle things that are happening that they're not shoving in your face, like the dynamic between Rick and Carol, because Rick, you know, kicked her out.
He's like,
you're done, you're banished. And now there's been, without three episodes of him being upset that she's gone, he's gone to help her out because he owes her that debt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of little subtle stuff like that. This season's worth watching when it comes up.
And I'm really interested in seeing what happens with, and I can't think of his name, but he ends the season finale, mid-season finale.
Morgan.
Morgan.
Morgan. Yeah. I'm so excited to see.
Because I had forgotten about him.
So do you think, on the subject of Morgan, do you think they're going to Hill City? You think that's what the second half will be, is ooh, them hillside? Voyaging to Hill City?
I don't think it's Hilltop. I think it's what's the city before where they it's all they've got the they've got it kind of barricaded all around.
Oh, I thought that was called Hilltop.
They've got Hilltop.
Something Berry. Something is not.
No.
What was that
called? It's the city.
It is Woodbury. Is it Woodbury?
It's the Woodbury city where they the make governor. Where he gets there right. And they make him like the sheriff and he makes Michelle.
Yeah, that's
the,
what I'm talking about.
I don't think that's Hilltop.
Though. I guess Hilltop's where Hilltop. Maggie is, right?
Exactly.
I don't remember, but that I think they're going there.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think based on the imagery. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
I think based on the imagery is because they really haven't, like, there's a part in the comics where they find, like, a development, remember? And it's covered in snow and they go in. And then when they walk in, like, they shut the gates and the snow falls down. It says, don't enter, dead inside.
They didn't do that on the show
already? I don't remember seeing that on the show.
I can't remember, to be honest.
I remember thinking it was going to happen on the show and it didn't. But based on a lot of the imagery I saw, I feel like they're walking into, like, I think they're going to be like a hybrid of that.
You could be right, because, yeah, they haven't had a season, like, in the snow. It's always been summer.
And I wonder if maybe something like that, or the Hilltop theory was intriguing. What's they could do the Kingdom.
It'll be interesting to see what they pan out with.
Yep.
Yeah. I was just thinking about it.
Yeah. I think that's the beauty of what makes the Walking Dead universe so cool, is, like, you've got the comic going one way, you've got the TV show going a completely different way, and you've got a video game taking it a different way, and all three of them are incredibly compelling stories.
And you have the crossover. I have another crossover, the spinoff.
Oh, Thank you. And it's one of the few spinoffs that I was like, I think I can watch that.
Are
they doing a
spinoff? Yeah, they are. It's called Cobalt.
Who's that following?
I think it's a whole new
it's just in the same world.
Yeah, it's going to be in the same world, just in a different city. So it might be the West Coast is what I'm thinking, maybe.
Play that guitar.
It's a bass.
Oh.
It's Marceline, the Vampire Queen.
Oh. Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch that.
Maybe you should watch that.
I got you. I got you. So good. What other bullshit do we want to talk about?
Flash and Arrow, since I'm the only one that fucking watches it, fucking dweebs.
I watch it. I'm just very behind.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to spoil some shit for you.
That's
fine. Are you watching The Flash?
No, but I'm going to.
Okay. So, Arrow and Flash on the CW just had their first official crossover week. So, on Tuesday, the Flash episode featured Oliver Queen, and then on Wednesday, the Arrow episode featured Grant Gustin as Barry Allen in The Flash. Fucking awesome.
It wasn't one big two-hour story,
right?
It
wasn't a big two-hour story. They were self-contained stories, but they call back to one another. Gotcha. So essentially, Oliver and Diggle and Felicity, so two members of his Arrow team, they show up in what's his fucking city? I keep thinking Starling.
Star City?
No, that's Oliver's city.
Yeah, Starling City.
But anyway, so they show up in the Flash's city and Central City, and they're trying to track this guy down who's been killing people with boomerangs.
Motherfucking boomerangs.
If you're familiar with the comics at all, you know that that's a big villain, Captain Boomerang, right? Anyway, so they kind of get sidetracked with kind of a really lower tiered villain that they did a really good spin on. I can't remember if it's like Professor Rainbow or Captain Rainbow or something like that.
Something Rainbow is pretty gay.
But in the show they call him Prism, and then they make a joke about one of the guys on the Flash's team, Cisco, he gives all the bad guys code names, and that's how they do the call outs to what the villains' names are in the comic books, right? He's like, I'm gonna call this guy Captain Cold and stuff like that, right? And so he's calling this guy Prism throughout the whole episode, and his girl coworker, his counterpart, who also supports the Flash, she's always kind of like, you know, rolling her eyes at this stuff. And she, at the end of the episode, she calls him something Rainbow, and he's like, "No, it's Prism. You're not allowed to name these guys anymore." So they kind of make a joke about it and stuff. But the episode is really awesome. So essentially, this villain can, in his eyes, he can create a color that pretty much makes you super fucking angry, just over everything, right? And he hits the Flash with it, and because of the Flash's metabolism, it takes longer to set in, and the effects aren't like as dramatic right off the bat. But kind of a long story short, it culminates in Arrow and Flash fighting each other, and it's fucking awesome, because you've got Flash, who's just barely become the Flash, Oliver, who's been the Arrow for several years now, and then plus all that time on the island being hardened and stuff like that. So he's very strategic and stuff. So even though he doesn't have any superpowers or anything, he's able to hold his own against Barry by some tricks and, you know, some hidden crossbows that are, you know, triggered with remote control and stuff. It's pretty cool. But there's this sequence in there that the production values of these shows, especially the Flash with the superpower stuff, always impresses me. Like, I just completely blows my mind. Like, I don't
better
know.
Better than Smallville?
Smallville's not even in the same league.
Awesome. That's good.
There's a portion where Oliver tries to outsmart Barry, and Barry dodges it and stuff, and essentially it's like, all right, we're going toe-to-toe. And it kind of does this slowdown thing where Barry's moving around Oliver, and Oliver's like doing like all this cool stuff, like swinging with his bow and then following with a roundhouse kick, like all this stuff. And it just shows like he's moving in slow motion and Barry's moving in normal motion. He's like ducking under his leg and coming up and then like moving out of the way of his fist and stuff. And then Barry gets tired of it and then just starts working Oliver, just like moving around him, just like kidney shot, just like super speed and stuff. It's fucking amazing. It's really great. And so then the following week on the Arrow episode, Captain Boomerang comes in, and he's a former Argus agent and stuff, and he's after one of Team Arrow's wives, who's also an Argus agent. And kind of the callback to the week or to the day before is that Barry shows up and he's like, oh, yeah, he said, you said I could stop by. Like, and so he just kind of shows up because Barry's like all about teaming up. He thinks that's the coolest thing in the world. He looks up to Oliver, and Oliver's kind of like, things work a little bit different here in Starling City. So there's like a really good kind of juxtaposition about what happens in Starling City and Central City, because Starling City is very much, Arrow's very much on the ground, right? With, just kind of like the goons, right? And, you know, he has to use some methods to get some information out of them that Barry doesn't really necessarily agree with, like putting an arrow in their shoulder and twisting it, you know, to essentially torturing them to get information. And Barry's like, what the fuck, man? Like, this isn't how you do it. But there's a really good part of the episode where Diggle's wife takes one of these serrated boomerangs to the chest. And I mean, she ultimately ends up surviving, but a couple of people from Team Arrow and a couple of people from Team Flash are kind of sitting around waiting to hear about, you know, what's going on with her. And the people from Team Flash are kind of like, you know, we kind of have been living in this world where these people have these fantastical superpowers, and we're so amazed by it that it doesn't really feel real. Like, you guys are dealing with people just straight up getting shot and stabbed and all this stuff, and it makes it seem, you know, we haven't been taking this completely seriously. So it's really good. Like, I cannot tell you guys enough that you should be watching Arrow and Flash.
The thing, when I'm talking to people that come in the store, the thing that I hear the most that makes me want to watch just the Flash, at least, is the possibility of Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah. So they've already teased Gorilla Grodd. Nightwing is supposed to make an appearance in Arrow.
Yeah, because he's been working it, like the actor has been like working out and posting pictures.
Yep. Interesting.
It's
one of my favorite characters.
But they can't mention can't mention Gotham or Batman or anything like that. So it's gonna be kind of interesting.
Is that because Fox owns it right now?
No, it's owned by the same ones, but it's like
because
it's
all Warner Gotham.
Because of Gotham. But Fox doesn't own the rights. Warner Brothers still owns the rights, but
they just don't want to confuse shit.
They don't want to confuse things because they've got their movie Batman and Gotham shit
DC
happening.
DC needs to grow some balls.
And then they've got their really Fox do. Gotham series and all this stuff. Now, in all fairness, CBS is developing a Supergirl series.
Oh, that's right. Weird. Why CBS?
Well, but here's the thing. CBS owns the CW. And Greg Berlanti, who created The Flash and Arrow, is also creating Supergirl. So he's gone on record as saying a crossover between the three of them isn't out of the question because CBS owns CW, and so they're more likely to say, yeah, sure, let's do some crossover stuff because it makes more sense. So there's a good chance that this new Supergirl series will also exist in the same world as Arrow and The Flash, but Gotham will probably remain separate
its own thing,
which is fine because it takes place in a different time period.
Well, anyway. That's what I just read Stephen Amell talking about, how he would like to do a Gotham crossover, and the time it doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, well, how old would that make him when Bruce is finally Batman? Is he going to be 50? I mean,
Stephen Amell doesn't understand how time works.
Yeah, clearly, Stephen Amell's really He seems like a really awesome guy, and he's really like interacts with his fans a lot. He seems to be very passionate about the Arrow stuff and the DC stuff, almost to a fault.
Yeah, because he was so upset about the fact that they cast somebody else as the Flash for the Flash movie.
Well, even I think that's just stupid. It's ridiculous.
Because that's the thing is, the DC TV stuff has got it all. It's action, drama, and it's funny. Or it's really funny at times, especially the Flash. Mm-hmm. You know, the movie stuff, it's just so fucking dark and relentless, you know?
With how well Arrow and Flash are doing, Flash is barely, I don't know how many episodes it's in, but I mean,
7 or 8.
I've talked to people who think that's better than Arrow at this point.
They've
already got a huge audience. So why would you not use the same actor? Because you've got that audience plus whoever's going to go see the DC movies.
Yeah, you know? I wouldn't say it's apples and oranges, but the Arrow stuff and the Flash stuff, the Flash benefits a lot from being able to jump off from the Arrow because it's a spinoff, right? Mm-hmm. So the Arrow, the first half of season 1 especially, is kind of tough to get through. But then after that, it really finds its feet. And then season 2 is fucking amazing. Season 3 has been really good so far. Flash doesn't seem like it really had to go through those growing pains because it's the same creators and stuff. So, yeah. What's next on the agenda?
I believe we wanted to ask you what you thought of this Deadpool tease that Ryan Reynolds had posted. Did you see that with the shotgun shells?
Yeah, so Ryan Reynolds posted to his Twitter a image of Deadpool's mask that was made up of shotgun shells and bullet casings that looked like Deadpool's mask, right? And he said, "It's chimichanga time." So a lot of people have taken that. And then I haven't looked into it, but I saw a story and I haven't had a chance to read it that there's some sort of official word on it.
There is official word from Fox,
that he's...
It's as of this morning. I think it's as of this morning.
And they start production in March, right?
I didn't look at that.
That sounds kind of familiar.
March, I think they, yeah, yeah, I think
they verified a bunch of things. Yeah. Wasn't it Variety that reported on it?
Yeah. So Ryan Reynolds is on to play Deadpool. Production starts in March. So this is this whole story of this Deadpool movie is actually pretty amazing because there was a lot of talk about it after X-Men Origins Wolverine because fans of Deadpool were fucking pissed off, myself included, about how he was handled. Yeah. All the way up, like while he was Wade Wilson, he was perfect. Awesome.
The first 5 minutes, I'm like, that's him.
That's perfect, awesome. Like talking about like all a bunch of dudes in an elevator and stuff like that. Like it was perfect, and then they really just fucked the character up, right? Yep. So there's some rumors too that this Deadpool movie takes place in a universe where X-Men Origins Wolverine is a movie, and he makes fun of that.
I hope so because they also call it a spinoff of X-Men. Like they're calling the Deadpool movie a spinoff of X-Men, so I hope that they kind of like poke fun at it.
Yeah,
and they use that because. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how
he breaks the fourth wall, so he can kind of do whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah, he can do regardless of the universe.
Yeah, and there was that leaked test footage,
which was awesome. It was all CGI.
And then they were like, "Well, shit, you guys like this? Here's the HD version."
But Ryan Reynolds voiced it. Yeah. You know, I think that
helped them a lot.
I think Daniel got some info.
I do. It's set to film. Filming starts in March, and it's set for a February 2016 release date. So they haven't moved the release date. Since they put out all that clusterfuck of dates.
so it's getting made, which for me, I'm really fucking excited because for one, Ryan Reynolds to me is a perfect fit for Deadpool. True. More so than fucking Green Lantern.
I don't know who would argue with
and he's always that. Said he will only do it if it's the right, if they yeah, do it the right way.
Like he's been really R. passionate yeah. about it from the get go. And the test footage that was official test footage, you know, by the director to Fox to show this is what we want to do was fucking incredible and spot on. So if all of these, you know, kind of indications, you know, are accurate, I think we could be in for a really good Deadpool movie. You know, I could be eating crow come February 2016 again, but my hopes are high. I think they learned some lessons from the X-Men Origins stuff. And I mean, just look at the X-Men movies period, you know, now with Days of Future Past, you know, it really seems like things are kind of coming back into stride for the X-Men.
The Wolverine solo movie I liked quite a bit, the Wolverine solo movie
was really good. Days of Future Past was really good. Apocalypse has a lot of indications with, you know, a lot of the people coming back. You know, it has no reason that it shouldn't be pretty dang good. Right. So,
well, and I want to bridge a quick subject. So, speaking of Tyson eating crow, Jimmy and I were drinking the other day, and we were talking about classic Big Shiny podcast. And so I started digging through my archives to see what I have.
Oh my god!
I have our first 3 years.
All right.
Archived.
What predictions have I made that I need to? I assumed you have a list.
I haven't. What I'm going to do. So I want some fans to email or tweet hashtag Tyson eats crow. If you want us to spend the time, if you would enjoy us spending the time digging through, because Jimmy's already volunteered to help, I will listen to 3 years worth of episodes begin pulling out. But there's some Tom Eats Crow too. Like, I made some really bad predictions.
You should just say general.
I think it should be the Big Shiny Podcast Eats Crow.
Eats Crow. And we'll just list some pretty definitive statements. I can't remember the prediction I made, but it was like some theory about a Marvel movie, and it was way fucking wrong. Like, it was so wrong.
Can we get the one where Rich is like, I will never buy console.
My god, yes, we need that in there history. Too.
What did you get today on the launch day? I bought an Xbox One.
And
why? Well, because they suck.
Yeah, because I hate them. Anyway, I just thought that was pretty interesting. So if you're interested, I'm thinking about trying to spend the next 6 months putting together like a best of / Tyson Eats Crow. I need to dig up Jimmy's bobsled story.
Yeah,
and some other stuff.
The sensor
the first time.
The
sensor version. Sounds even
I only
worse.
Well, I deleted all the master tracks. I only have the MP3s.
Oh, okay, so. Cool.
And I've got those. Ever too.
Okay, cool. So I think we should do that. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. So email in admin at Big Shiny Robot. Put the subject as Go to Hell, Lucas. And then,
yeah, that's what I need, more email more from assholes. Mail.
Otherwise, no, but seriously, tweet it at us. Let us know if you want us to do that, because that would be a fun project, I think. So go on.
Right on.
I want to, before Suicide we move Club? Into this, well, I just really wanted to touch on the Cumberbatch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
being
yeah.
Cast oh, as Cumberbatches.
Doctor Strange.
I think that's awesome.
I'm so excited for that.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch, but so far right now, I'm kind of wish that they would have gone with Pedro Pascal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's wonderful. And because he looks a lot like Doctor Strange. Like, I think it'd be pretty easy.
Sure.
Whatnot. But if you don't know who that is, it's Oberyn from Game of Thrones.
No, I think he'd be. Yeah. I think he would have been. A good
he would have been
yeah.
great.
Yeah, he would have been awesome.
And it wouldn't. It kind of would have gotten rid of some of the whitewashing. Well, not really whitewashing, but just lots of white people.
Right,
in
right.
the Marvel universe. Mm.
That's very
we have
true.
Black Panther coming in. Relax.
One black guy does not a diversity make.
No, I haven't had a problem with
affirmative action.
With you haven't lived in Utah.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're from Utah. Like, one black guy to seven white people is like the exact ratio we live in.
They're just casting Marvel movies in Salt Lake. That's all it is.
That's right.
That is a weird. I don't know where we go from that. But I'm excited for that casting.
I think there's kind of like this weird, like, kind of. Which I don't understand where it comes from, because for me, being a big Sherlock fan, I've had a ton of exposure to Benedict Cumberbatch.
He's
right?
wonderful. He's really
fucking
awesome.
Amazing, right? But think about like everything else he's done. Like, the most major thing that he's done thus far is Khan in Star Trek Into Darkness, right? Other than that, he's the voice of Smaug in the Hobbit series.
He's
really, right?
He's amazing.
But who fucking knows
he's
that?
He's also the necromancer in the Hobbit films
right,
as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then he's done like some other like kind of more dramatic films that haven't been
this recent
hits.
One was
he
I
played
really
Edward
see.
Snowden
he's no, also playing Julian Assange or he did play
he did
yeah. or no yeah Julian
well the
Assange.
The Code movie that just came out looks great.
What's it called?
I can't remember what it's called.
I know what you're talking about,
but it's based on the guy that built the first computer.
And his whole dramatic life, because he was homosexual during that time and
which
all
was
this stuff. It's supposed to be really good. But he hasn't done anything, but like a lot of people, even whenever before it was officially announced,
it's
when
Sherlock
his name was
crab.
Being like batted around, people were like, no, I don't want him to be fucking Doctor Strange. Like, I've had enough of Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm like, what the fuck has he been in that you've seen him in? Like,
do you know what's really funny about that is that a year or two ago, all of a sudden out of nowhere, everybody started hating on Anne Hathaway. Like, they fucking couldn't stand her. They hated her so much and they were sick of her. And it's like, really, she hasn't even been in that
but
much.
But maybe they finally saw The Princess Diaries too.
Nobody's seen that.
I'm pretty sure I own that on DVD, actually.
Oh, honey.
Saying. I'm pretty sure it's in my collection somewhere.
Aw. But no, but... And so now,
are you talking about like when she was with cast as Catwoman and stuff?
No, or? It was after Les Mis. There were all these articles and all these people that were just hating on her, and there are so many articles that were just like, why do you hate her now?
Well, especially because she was in Les Mis for like 7 minutes. Like,
yeah,
she's a whore and she dies. Like, Like, and that's not being mean. Like, that's her actual role in the film.
I know. My God.
That's how Pretty Woman should have ended.
Daniel, this is Tyson.
Yeah, I know. I knew what I was getting into.
I completely agree with you. Like, it's weird, like, this like, completely, like...
And now
I feel like that's happening with, like, Christopher Nolan.
Everybody hates Christopher Nolan. It's cool to hate these people.
It's like it's just the culture in general with nerd culture.
Well, like,
that chaps my ass because it's like all the Batman movies have always sucked. It's like, how many of you were talking about jizzing over The Dark Knight? Like, shut the fuck up.
The first few, and I liked the first one. I didn't like the next two, though.
See, we talked about this on a lot last podcast.
I believe that.
Like, I'm lukewarm on the whole series. Mm. Now, don't get me wrong. The Dark Knight is a fucking amazing movie. But, like, when I step back and look at all three movies as a whole, I'm like, no, it's okay. But it doesn't make me fucking hate Chris Nolan because I really fucking love Inception. Yeah.
Well, I don't see you talking shit on Interstellar just because of that.
Well, and I haven't seen Interstellar, but I really want to see it. You know, so
you need to see it, dude.
Yeah, I really fucking want to see it. Well,
yeah.
And even if I don't like it, I'm just like, I still think Christopher, you know, just because, like, do I feel like he botched the last part of the Batman trilogy?
Yes.
Yes, I do. But does it make me hate Christopher Nolan? No. Mm. Because he gave us Inception, The Dark Knight.
The Prestige.
Like, the Prestige.
Memento.
Memento, so good.
Yeah. So good. What's stuff, but yeah.
Williams? So, let
me see this. Robin Williams?
The one
or something?
No, it's the one where he's a photographer.
1 hour
or,
photo?
Or, I mean, a developer.
No. 1 hour photo.
That one's not Nolan, is it?
I don't
it?
Think that's Nolan.
No, the Insomniac one. Where Insomniac. Like
Insomnia.
Yeah, it's Insomnia. That's what it was.
There we go.
That's the one
with Pacino.
So, I don't know if you saw that
since
one.
Since we're talking directors, I remember what it was. I'm going to tell you what we ate crow on. It was actually BSR Eats Crow. We all talked about how when Jon Favreau we found out he was not going to be directing the Avengers.
Oh.
And we were all, like, lamenting about it, like, oh,
but
my
we
God.
We didn't know that it was Whedon. We didn't know Joss Whedon was going
to
come
in.
Oh,
my God, I don't know if the Avengers is going to be good. Like, he's going to have some kind of consulting role or something. There's no way they can do this without Jon Favreau. So we were all wrong, because they did it without Jon Favreau.
That's been, like, every Marvel thing for me. Like, yeah. Doctor Strange, I'm like, who's going to give a shit about that movie? And then they cast Cumberbatch and
I don't know enough about Doctor Strange to give a fuck. I love Benedict Cumberbatch, so I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll probably go see that movie because he's in it.
I think that's what they're going for.
Like, I'm a huge Benedict Cumberbatch fan. I know
nothing
about Doctor Strange.
The only thing I know
about
Strange has a goatee.
Yeah.
And in Marvel versus Capcom 3.
I love Marvel movies. And
a servant named Wong.
Oh, yeah.
His best stories are always the quirky ones, like... he ends up going to the other side. Like, he gets stuck in the whatever they call the plane where everybody's dead. Mm. But he has to team up with all the dead girlfriends, like Gwen Stacy, to fight whatever the monster is. So that's cool. Usually quirky. So I think Cumberbatch is perfect for that kind of a character.
And I mean, he's got an infinite loop in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is cool. Like, he has endless combos.
Well, and let's just think about let's just think about, like, the actors that are in the Marvel movies right now. Like, can you imagine Benedict Cumberbatch and Robert Downey Jr. having a dialogue?
Oh my God.
Like, that alone.
Well, him and any guy.
Yeah, like, him and anyone. Like, even, like,
Chris
Evans.
Him and Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
think about that.
Yeah, you need
it's
to think
phase
about
three.
That.
Put Paul Rudd in the middle of that, too.
Yeah. And stuff. Yeah,
and
like,
then Danny DeVito can play the Watcher.
Why not?
Why not?
Or what's
Why
the not? One? What's the one in the fucking stupid floating chair?
Oh, MODOK? He could be MODOK.
Danny DeVito could be MODOK.
Danny DeVito would be a great MODOK.
Hashtag Danny DeVito for MODOK.
Oh, man. But, I think...
I was excited to hear that. And then the other casting you weren't as excited about.
Yeah, it's the first time in a Marvel casting I was not happy with Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones.
Oh,
why?
Really?
Why? Neither was Rebecca.
I hate Kristen Ritter.
Your comment on Facebook was so funny.
What?
It's like, I loved her in one thing.
Oh, I loved her in one thing when she died in Breaking Bad.
Have you not seen Don't Trust the Bee?
No.
That's you need to watch. Yeah, you really need to watch. Don't Trust the Bee. If only just for James Vanderbeek.
That's the reason I would watch it. But she was like the star, and I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna do
this.
She's
funny in it.
She's
really
so
funny
in it.
And I think she's like really good looking gal.
She's
no, that's the whole thing. She looks like a giraffe mixed with a praying mantis.
I don't know.
Mantis.
Like,
she's
it's just,
messed up.
I look at her and I'm just like,
where's Jimmy?
I'm like, they're kind of weird looking, but I'm digging it. Like, that's
you're digging the praying mantis.
She's like the ugly hot, where you're like.
She's like a dog that's so ugly it's cute. Like,
No. She doesn't look average or standard. Like, she's got a unique look to her, and I'm just like, Jessica, and I think she can play the Jessica Jones role perfectly. Like, I saw that, and while I wasn't super excited, I wasn't concerned either. I was like, oh, okay. No, I'll be interested to see how this goes.
I shrugged and went, oh, well, it's Netflix.
I mean, I'm not really paying for it.
Yeah, he's not going to be paying extra for this.
So. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so now, sorry.
Suicide Squad. Danielle, I think you need to lead it because you're our resident DC person.
Am I? Yay!
I think you are.
Okay, you're more DC than any of us.
Damn.
I read Swamp Thing.
That's cool. Good for you, buddy.
Why, thanks.
You should be so proud.
Why everybody bust Tom's balls?
I don't understand. Like, she's been here 10 minutes, and she's like, let's fucking bust Tom's balls.
That's how every guest is that comes
God,
in.
Just that's
like, the prison yard thing,
you know?
I have
to fit in.
Does that go out, is that like a pre-podcast email that I'm not CC'd
no,
like, on?
Yeah.
It's like,
no.
By like, the way.
Then Kylie sends it out, actually.
I just really want to fit in with you guys, and so...
Well, you're not doing a great job so far, so keep trying. More Tom jokes.
So, Suicide Squad, we've got the Joker, played by Jared Leto.
Yay.
Deadshot, played by Will Smith.
That's weird.
Harley Quinn, awesome. Played by...
Margot Robbie.
Yes.
Who was from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yep.
Is Will Smith going to do like a whole music video for this, you think?
Here comes the man in black.
Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
Who else do we have?
Cara Delevingne, who is a model, is going to be playing...
Enchantress.
And
DC Enchantress, not Marvel Enchantress.
That worked out well for January Jones.
No.
Fuck, I hate January Jones so much.
That's kind of my point. Go ahead.
I'm trying to load up the thing.
And then fucking Bane is...
Tom Hardy.
So, again?
Tom Hardy.
No, he's not Bane again.
No, it's not Bane.
No.
He's...
That doesn't make any sense.
What the fuck is he?
That's what he said.
I can't get the page to load.
I can't remember
his
fucking name. It was some guy that I'd never fucking heard of.
Like Red Flag or something like that. I can't remember.
Something like that.
I don't know anything about the Suicide Squad.
I'd like to see him get Oprah
for... I don't either, other than Harley Quinn.
Is she in this?
Amanda Waller.
She's played by Margot Robbie.
Who's that?
The chick from Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, okay.
That's everything I've heard from that. It's like, I see her, but she doesn't look familiar, and the name doesn't sound familiar, and everyone goes, she's from Wolf of Wall Street.
Like, her tits are totally in Wolf of Wall Street, guys.
it's coming to Netflix soon, so I will check it out.
So
it's
good.
Well, it's pretty hilarious,
so
too.
Yeah.
There's midget tossing and other inappropriate things.
But hold on, can we get back to this whole Oprah playing Amanda Waller thing? Like, what the fuck?
That would be wonderful. No, she would kick some fucking ass. No,
but it's just kind of...
That's all I keep reading is that's who they're eyeballing. That's who they want to play Amanda Waller. I'm like,
but
Oprah,
here's the thing,
I don't
disagree. I think she'd be great because especially if you look at
Tom Hardy's Rick Flag, by the way.
That's what I was just about
Bruce
to say.
Bruce Timm.
The animated series.
Well, and even in
it's
the
a heavy set black woman.
The DC universe before the New 52, she was a heavy set.
Yeah, and then of course they made her into slender attraction.
Because
that's how she is in the Arrow show and everything like that. But
is she? Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, Amanda Waller's huge part of Arrow.
Oh, yeah, so they need to recast.
And so is
that.
The Suicide
it's
Squad
DC.
Actually. But anyway, Oprah, like if she would do it. And do it right.
Everybody gets a comic book.
But do you think Oprah would step up and play Amanda Waller? Like
I'm surprised
the head
they got
of a clandestine government agency that hires like the most nefarious criminals ever to grace the planet. To
I think,
see how she would.
I think that
missions?
She could, but I don't think that she will because
that's
if
what
you
I'm saying.
Yeah.
She could, but
she
would
could.
She?
I don't think she could. She will because if you sorry, I'm used that's to holding my mic.
You can hold it.
You can totally
okay,
hold
good,
it.
Because
you're
this
good.
Is weird. To lean into the microphone is so weird.
Do you want me to like interview you style? And then...
No. No.
Best
sorry.
Response.
No.
Hashtag
but if you look at if you look at all of her previous roles, she's usually in very serious things like The Color Purple, The Butler,
Right,
but they're dramatic like historical roles.
That's
like,
what she does though.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is
she
like
in Roots?
Would
yes,
she
she's
ever...
in Roots.
I was right.
Yeah, would she ever step up though and
you
play
get a gold sword too, buddy?
Amanda Waller. Like I think she'd be a great fit. I mean, especially like some of the recent DC films that have come out. Like there's this one part with like Lex Luthor and Amanda Waller that's like really fucking disturbing. Like he kind of threatens to rape her. Like it's
in
it's,
what?
Yeah, like in one of the DC animated like, films. Like
an
one,
animated
one,
thing?
Yeah, one of the more recent ones.
That's weird.
Like the PG-13 ones and stuff, but I mean she's a hard-nosed I don't disagree. Oprah would be fine for it. I just don't see her doing it.
She won't do it.
The one I'm shocked about is Will Smith. Deadshot. That's
yeah.
This is the guy
that's
who
a supporting
isn't a violent
exactly.
character.
This is the guy who turned down Django because
he had to share screen time with Christoph.
No, not at all. It was Christoph Waltz was the guy who killed Leonardo DiCaprio, right. And he's like, "No, right. I'm the star. I need to kill his character." And Quentin's like, "No, I'll get someone else."
Yeah. But Will Smith did, after he saw the movie, was like, "You know what? Like, I kind of made a mistake, but Jamie Foxx did amazing."
He did. I've never been a Will Smith fan.
I think
fan,
he'll be fine as Deadshot. Like, Deadshot's an ancillary character. I don't think
that's why I'm shocked that he's like, yeah, I'll do this.
Well, and isn't he kind of a violent character, too?
He's super violent. Hmm. Yeah.
But also, what's really funny about, like, the Tom Hardy one, though, is that there were rumors about Tom Hardy taking the role of Apocalypse. So it's just like, did DC give him more money than Marvel, or what?
Well, but they announced the casting of Apocalypse way before this, though.
Not way before.
A couple weeks.
A week or two, yeah. But still, like, there was still rumors, like a month right, ago.
Right, so you're wondering, like, did they lure him away?
Uh-huh, exactly.
I mean, this is an all-star cast, no matter which way you look at it. Tom Hardy, Will Smith, and Jared Leto alone.
Fucking just those Jared three. Leto.
So when are they shooting to put this out? When's the release
2016,
date?
I think.
Yeah, I think it's 2016.
It's going to be a big year.
2015 and 16. People are going to get superheroed out.
I think it's really weird that they're leading off so early with a Suicide Squad. Does anyone else think that's weird?
Suicide Squad is just so random.
Right?
But at the same time, I think that they're aiming for Sandman to come out like in 2017, which is still pretty early on.
Right, but
there's a lot
but
of...
that one's still pretty random.
But I mean, so Suicide Squad, I mean, not to take it back to Arrow, but there's a Suicide Squad in Arrow, and it's not this exact same Suicide Squad, but it's got Deadshot in it. They actually teased Harley Quinn, even though she wasn't actually in it or anything. But it was a build-up, and it made the Suicide Squad, when they find this version of it that's an Arrow, when they finally came together, it's like, oh, okay, it made sense. These are villains that we've seen before. They put them away. There's this Amanda Waller character who's brought them all together. She's a hard-ass, you know, just get-the-job-done sort of person. And so there's a reason why she's bringing these people together, and Oliver disagrees with it. And it was fluid. Like, you're
so are they like a Sinister Six team, but like good guys?
Yes. But they're not good guys. They're
bad guys that need to be good guys?
All right, here's the thing. Suicide Squad, they are controlled by Argus. Argus, think of them as like a slightly more sinister version of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the DC universe, okay? What they do is they've got all these villains locked up in like Arkham Asylum and shit, right? And they decide there's this mission that needs to be done, and it's going to take killing bitches. It's going to take some underhanded stuff that like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, like they're not going to be willing to do any of this shit. This is just like, things are going to get dirty and it needs to get
like
done.
Thunderbolts, like Punisher crew.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take all of these villains that we have locked up right now, and the roster is always changing, but in this case, you know, Joker, Harley Quinn.
I think they implant them with something we're going to inject a bomb
into their brain, like a little mini bomb into their brain. And if they essentially they make a deal. They say, you know, I don't know if it's like we'll shave time off your sentence.
But you
or
get
anything,
to go kill people.
But you get to go kill people and stuff. But if you don't do exactly as we tell you and complete the mission just as exactly as we tell you to do so, we're gonna detonate this little mini bomb that's in your brain and fucking kill you. So.
Makes me kind of wonder, like, I didn't think that Joker was actually in, at least in the 52.
I don't think he's ever been in the Suicide Squad.
To be in the Suicide Squad. I think he's going to be
just to kind
an
of give,
ancillary
like,
character because Harley's in there.
Yeah,
and I
give
think
Harley
he's,
backstory kind yeah. of thing. Explain how the fuck she became Harley.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's weird.
It's DC. I've quit asking questions at this point.
I mean, I'm not against it. Like, I don't think it's bad casting. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm definitely curious. I just think it's, as far as, like, the Suicide Squad and, like, the big scheme of things, essentially we've got Man of Steel, and then we're going to have Batman v. Superman, the court drama.
Bats v. Soups.
Bats v. Soups. And then I think the next one's going to be Suicide Squad.
Yeah, the Suicide Squad is afterwards.
Which is weird. Like, that just seems... The timing seems weird.
It's because there's so much Harley Quinn cosplay out there.
That they have to explain it to the layman's.
Yeah, they got to make a movie.
Who is this person?
I don't know. But the gal who plays Harley's voice in, like, the Batman the Animated Series, I can't remember her name.
I
follow her on Twitter. She's really funny. But she actually did the voice of Harley for the Arrow when Harley Quinn cameoed. So they only showed her from behind, and it was a different actress. It wasn't actually her, but she did the voice. Like,
oh, I didn't know she had the speaking part.
Yeah, but they had her, the girl from the Bruce Timm animated series era, and from like Injustice and stuff.
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, that do the voiceover for it. So it was kind of cool. But anyway, so I think that pretty much wraps things up for this week. Want to give a shout out to our sponsors, the Bohemian Brewery, located locally here in Salt Lake City. Secret Compass Collectibles, located at secretcompassonline.com.
As well as
superherostuff.com. And Danielle, thank you very much for joining us
this week. Thank you for having me.
Please plug your wonderful podcast?
My podcast is Hello Sweetie Podcast. You can find us at hellosweetiepodcast.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, and yeah.
There you go.
Stitcher, iTunes, whatnot.
Right on. Yeah. All right. We'll catch you guys next week. We're going to be talking comics.
Thank you for listening to the Big Shiny Podcast. As always, you can check us out on iTunes. Please listen and rate. You can also find us on Stitcher. And be sure to check out our good friends at Entertainment is Dead and the Full of Sith Podcast. And a special thanks to our good sponsors at Secret Compass, who you can find at secretcompassonline.com.